Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Now these mawaqit, the Prophet strictly stated that you cannot pass by if you intend Umrah or Hajj without offering ihram. And that is why scholars say that this is one of the mandatory acts of Umrah or of Hajj. So if a person travels and passes these mawaqit without offering his ihram, and for example lands in Jeddah, he is instructed either go back and offer your ihram there, or if you offer your ihram from Jeddah, you must pay sacrifice because you have sinned. You have done a sin. You went against the instruction of the Prophet ﷺ. What about if a person did not intend and then came in? A person came in for business. He has 5 days meeting in Jeddah, and he came in Jeddah. After the 5 days were over, just before going back, one of his friends said, "Why don't you make Umrah?" He said, "Wallah, I did not think of it. What to do?" Does he go back to the Miqat or he makes his intention from Jeddah? The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that these mawaqit are for whoever comes and penetrates. He has to make his ihram from the miqat as long as he intends to make Umrah or Hajj, whether now or later. And he said that whosoever house is inside, then his miqat is from his house. And likewise, who intended it from inside. So this means that if a person comes, passes the miqat, and does his work without intending to make Umrah, and then all of a sudden he changed his intention, he makes his ihram from wherever his hotel is or from wherever he's living in Jeddah. Likewise, if a person has mixed intention, in the sense that he doesn't know, he wants to make Umrah, but he is not certain that he will be capable of doing that. Why? I have 3 days meeting and I'm traveling on the fourth day. If there is a possibility that the meetings would extend to be 4 days, and there is a possibility that I finish them in 2 days. If this is the case, Allah brings whatever is best. After 2 days, I finish the meetings. I make my ihram from Jeddah. But if a person is coming and firmly intending to make Umrah, but he wants to make Umrah on the fifth day, because the 4 days he has business meetings. After the fourth day is over, he is obliged to go back to the miqat. Why? Because his intention was firm. And the concept that a lot of the Muslims think that, no, I'm going to make Umrah, but I will spend 3 days at my daughter's house. She's married in Saudi and I'll stay with her for 3 days. Khalas, then I will become a resident of that city and I will make my ihram from there. This is wrong. As long as you have the intention that is firm, that you want to make Umrah or Hajj, you must make your ihram from the miqat. If you come to Jeddah and after 5 days, 10 days, you make your ihram, though you had the intention of doing that, you have to sacrifice and slaughter a sheep. Moving on to the following hadith that deals with what should a muhrim wear. And hadith number 213, I believe. Who will read it for us?
Narrated, Abdullah bin Umar, a man asked, "O Allah's Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what kind of clothes should a muhrim wear?" Allah's Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, replied, "He should not wear a shirt, a turban, trouser, a headlock, or leather socks, except if he can find no slippers. He then may wear leather socks after cutting off what might cover the ankles. And he should not wear clothes which are scented with saffron or wars kind of perfumes." Bukhari added, "And a woman shouldn't wear the niqab or the gloves."
Very well. The following hadith, hadith number 214, Faisal.
Narrated, Ibn Abbas, "I heard the Prophet delivering a sermon at Arafat, saying if a muhrim does not find slippers, he could wear cuffs and if he does not find an izar, a waist sheet for wrapping the lower half of the body, he could wear trousers for the muhrim.
These two hadiths, we learn from them what a muhrim, what is the meaning of muhrim? He's a person who's in the state of ihram. What is the state of ihram? It is the state that you voluntarily enter and you pledge not to do the things that you are not supposed to do by the Quran and the Sunnah. What are the things that I'm not supposed to do by the Quran and Sunnah? Well, you have to, as a muhrim, avoid a number of things, such as cutting or shaving your hair, or removing your hair of the body, or putting perfume, or wearing trousers, or wearing shirts, or wearing turbans, or wearing shoes, or having intimacy with your wife, or having intercourse with your wife, or having an engagement, or getting married, or hunting the game, or hunting an animal. All of these things are considered to be part of the restricted act of a muhrim. He's not allowed to do them. So when I put my garment, my waist garment, and when I put my towel that covers my shoulders, and I say verbally, labbaik Allahumma bi umrah, or I intend it with my heart, I am in the state of ihram. Can I come out of the state of ihram if I wish? Can I? No. Allah says, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. You must complete your hajj or your umrah for Allah. So once you're committed, that is it. You cannot say, wallah, it's too crowded. My car broke down. I fell sick. No, you have to complete it. And we will come, inshallah, to mention the cases that may be accepted if you wanted to break this. So the Prophet ﷺ was first asked, what does a muhrim wear? And the Prophet ﷺ, if he answered this question, he would mention a whole wardrobe of clothes. You wear this, you wear this, you wear this, and it goes on endlessly. Instead, the Prophet restricted the muhrim from wearing few things, and the rest are considered to be okay. So he restricted him from wearing a shirt. And a shirt definition is anything that has sleeves. So this is a shirt. Whether it is like my shirt so long until it reaches my legs, or it's short, like the one that people wear with trousers, it's called a shirt. And the Prophet forbade a man from wearing a turban. And by turban, anything that is worn on the head. Are we talking about women or men? About men. So this is the muhrim's, a man, way of dressing. He must avoid the shirt, he must avoid the turbans, he must avoid the trousers. And also what takes the ruling of the trousers are the underwears. Why? Because they have a place for putting your legs in. So anything that you wear is haram, whether it's a thong or it is something that is more. It's considered to be haram. Anything that you put your legs in, it has to be wrapped. One would say, okay, what happens if I put a wrapper around my private parts and then I put the bigger waist izar? Is this permissible? Yes. The Prophet did not forbid it. He forbade only these things. And then he says, the Prophet ﷺ said, al-baranis. And what's the baranis? It's sort of a cloak with something that you put on your head. So it's also taking the shape of a shirt, but even if it doesn't have places for your arms, the minute it hangs on your head, this is a combination between a shirt and a turban. So this is haram. You're not allowed to do this. And you're not allowed to wear the khuf. And the khuf is the shoe. Usually it is leather socks or leather shoes. And the Prophet elaborated, saying that if you cannot have slippers, I have only shoes, what to do? The Prophet ordered us to cut so that the ankles would appear and the heels of the foot. So it would be like a slipper, but you cut the back end. The second hadith that the brother read of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the Prophet said, no, if you cannot find slippers, don't destroy your shoes, wear them as they are. So we have one hadith that says cut, the other hadith says no, wear your shoes. And the scholars say that this latter hadith, which says wear your shoes if you cannot find slippers, abrogates the first instruction of cutting. Why? Because if you can't afford slippers or you don't have slippers, you only have your shoes, there is no point in wasting your money and destroying your shoes. So this abrogates it. And what about if a person does not have a waist wrapper? Then he may wear trousers until he finds a waist wrapper. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam forbade men from wearing anything that is perfumed, whether by saffron or by wars, and it's a form of dye they give for the clothes. So these are the things that people must avoid, and men especially, when they offer their ihram. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to elaborate on the women wearing niqab and gloves, but inshallah, when we meet next time, we will elaborate a little bit more on that. So until then, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.